There you go. Okay, so good morning. So first of all, this week is Parshat Tetzaveh. Okay. No, Tetzaveh. This week's Parshat Tetzaveh. Today is also Purim Katan. So it's a very special opportunity for davening. There's real beauty to that. For those of you that have the opportunity to daven mincha today, to take advantage of the Eitz Ratzon. I've been thinking a lot. This week is a beautiful parsha. And if you think about the story of Sefer Shemot, right, the story of the Jewish people, they're in Mitzrayim. So they're in Mitzrayim, and they go down to Galut, and then what happens is they have this tremendous Yitziat Mitzrayim. You have the splitting of the sea; it's like extraordinary. And then you have Matan Torah, right? It's like this build up. You have the Matan Torah. You have all the mitzvot, and then what is it all for? It all comes down to they have a Mishkan. And what we know is that there's a tremendous beauty, is that at the end of the day, we're coming out of Mitzrayim all to serve Hashem. Right? We're not coming out of Mitzrayim so we can party. We're coming out of Mitzrayim so we could serve Hashem. In Eretz Yisrael, in Be'ezrat Hashem, we have the Mishkan reminds us a lot of what is the future of our Beit HaMikdash, of really coming together. And last week we spoke about the Aron, and the first thing this week, the parsha is about the Bigdei Kahuna, and the first thing that they have, that they discuss, is the Ephod with the Choshen. So sometimes the things that go first are a little bit like the more special things, and so it's hard to prioritize, and yet I think there's something beautiful about the Choshen that I wanted to stop and to speak to you about. So the Choshen is the breastplate that the Kohen Gadol wore. The breastplate had how many stones, you know? 12 stones. Each stone represented the Shvatim, a different Shevet. So happens to be, I said to my son yesterday, Kobe. Kobe is 10 years old. Kobe loves stones. He's a geologist. And if he could take earth science now, he would take earth science right now. He's obsessed with stones. For his birthday last year, okay, your girls are not going to, 2 years ago for his birthday present, during post-COVID, his birthday wish was to go to the Museum of Natural History to see the stones. He had to get the vaccine, okay, in order to go to the museum. Okay, so yeah, I know you're like, that's crazy. We got him vaccinated just so he could see the stones of the Museum of Natural History. Okay, that's like, so just understand, so I said, Kobe, this is your parsha. You've got stones. Like, we're going to have so much fun this week. We're going to look at all the different stones, and each one has a different explanation. And he's like, wow, that's so exciting. And one of the things that was interesting is I opened up the Mefarshim to look at the different stones. Really, each stone has a different representation. 12 stones, 12 different. And what's interesting is they're not all stones that we know. Some of them are like, and this is not really a geology lesson, but some of them we don't know. They have strange names, and all of them, if Hashem, are trying to figure out, what is the stone? Is it a sapphire? Is it a topaz? Is it this? Is it that? So what I want to do is say, I'm not going to teach you geology today, and we're not going to really talk about the gemstones, but I do want to think about, what is the message of the stones? And the Rabbeinu Bechaya does a beautiful job really speaking about the intrinsic value of each one, that there is a message. Like, for example, Reuven, the stone was a reddish stone because he made a mistake, and it represents the mistake of the sin and him learning from his mistakes. Levi, it says it was like a brakat, like almost like barak. Like, what's barak? Like lightning. And they're not sure. Was it white? Was it sparkly? It was so sparkly. Al shem shenotzeta kivarak umi'irak kener. It like sparkled so much. So it's actually interesting that it was not a diamond. And they say that likely there were no diamonds. I know we think diamonds are the ones that reflect and refract the most light, but they didn't yet discover how to open up diamonds. So it's unlikely that any of these stones were actual diamonds. But it was a very, very sparkly stone. And actually brings down, because why? Because Levi was the communicator of Torah. And Torah is so sparkly that it's like the Rabbeinu Bechaya brings down, Chachmat Adam Ta'ir Panav, that when you have tremendous love for Torah and of Chachmah, it lights up your face. Yehuda had a greenish tinge, maybe it was an emerald, we don't know, because Horiku Panav, he had humility. He realized that he made a mistake, and he said, oh, wow, he was moda, that he could be humble, and it was one of the most expensive stones, because he later became king. So it was powerful and beautiful, but also showed a necessary humility of leadership. Yisachar was blue, or sapphire, to think about the message of Tchela, because Yisachar also learned Torah, and he had the Luchot HaTorah, and there was the Eve, and it actually says, Even HaSapir Kedmut HaKiseh, like the Kiseh HaKavod, had the color of sapphire. So we know, we think it's like a sapphire, we think it's blue, and Tchelet, you know, sometimes people wear blue, sometimes you see even people wear blue on tzitzit, right, because the, you know, in the time of Mashiach, we'll all be wearing blue on tzitzit. It's just that now some people aren't sure if the blue that we have is really Tchelet or not. That's why some people wear it and some people don't, but this Tchelet is supposed to remind us of the Kiseh HaKavod. Zvulun represents a yahalom, which, by the way, nowadays we say yahalom is diamond, but again, the Mefarshim say likely not diamonds. It was more like a white moonstone, because white represents midat harachamim. Actually, also the concept of, like, you should age into old age with beauty. So, like, you see, you have all these different stones. Each one is representing a different character trait of a different part of Klal Yisrael, which is beautiful. And I'm going to get to the last two stones are Yosef and Binyamin. The Yosef stone is the Shoham, and Binyamin is the Yashve stone. Again, major controversy over what that is and what it looks like. But one of the things is amazing is that all of these stones together made up the Choshen. Independently, they could be jewelry. But when you, and they could be fascinating, and they could be beautiful, and they're interesting. But as you put them together, they actually are something extraordinary. And we know that folded into the ephod, behind the choshen, in that apron, when it was complete, what went inside was the Urim v'Tumim, which was Hashem's name, which was then allowed the stones to have like an extraordinary level of communication, and almost like Hashem came down into the world and communicated to Klal Yisrael through that. And it was a dual relationship. The Kohen Gadol wore this when he was serving Hashem, and then Hashem was able to communicate to Klal Yisrael through this. It's a really, really powerful concept. But you needed all of these stones to be put together in order for it to work. Now, there's a story in the Gemara in Bayit Sheni that there was a point where one of these stones was missing. And then there's another place in the Yerushalmi that says, like, which stone was it? We're not sure. And they say it was the Binyamin stone was missing. I also had fun with my Binyamin last night. I'm like, Binyamin, everybody's trying to chazer and try to figure out why is it that the Binyamin stone was missing. So I'm learning a lot about Binyamin. I got a good smile out of that one. What? I shouldn't say that. He listens to my thing. Oh, gosh, Binyamin, don't get upset at me. we sent him my recordings. What?
The stone wasn't in the first place?
So it was missing. They don't know what happened. It fell out. Mm. And that's, you know that famous story of Dama Ben and Tina, yeah, who he was missing the stone, and he didn't want to wake up his father for it. Yeah. Remember that famous story? And then they came back the next day, and they bought the stone from him. That was the Binyamin stone. Okay, and then he got a lot of money for it, but he didn't want to charge more money because he felt, so then he, because of that, he got the Parah Aduma. Mm-hmm. He's a non-Jew. Yeah. So that's the whole story. We're not doing that story today, but we just did a review. Okay, but the Binyamin story is missing. The Binyamin stone is missing, and the Chassam Sofer says something very beautiful. The Chassam Sofer says that there's a power to Binyamin. If you remember the story of Mechirat Yosef, Binyamin was actually not a player. He didn't get involved. And he, in some ways, represents the achdut of Klal Yisrael, the coming together of Klal Yisrael. because, you know, everybody else was fighting, trying to, he did not get involved. He was quiet. He didn't tell his father. He just kind of stayed out of it, and that represented Achdut. So when it fell out, maybe there was a message that we needed to replace it, but in Bayit Sheni, if you remember, part of the reason why we had the destruction of Klal Yisrael, of the Beit HaMikdash, was because of Sinat Chinam, right? They weren't getting along. So there's another time that we have these two stones of Binyamin and Yosef come back. That is in Nivua in Yeshayahu, where it says that in the time when Mashiach comes, we're going to have Yerushalayim is going to be built, and it's going to have these beautiful stones of the Kadkod. So there's a Gemara that says, like, what are these beautiful stones of the Kadkod? Like, it's like this back and forth. And basically, in the Gemara, this back and forth, one Mandamar says it's the Shoham of Yosef. One says it's the Yashveh of Binyamin. It's a back and forth, a back and forth. And finally, Hashem, the Malachim are fighting over which stone it is. And then Hashem responds that actually it's both. It's both the Shoham and the Yashveh. It's the only place where you see the Shoham and the Yashveh again mentioned anywhere. It's like a very strange thing that you have only the Shoham and the Yashveh, and it comes back here. So the Maharsha says, like, what? Excuse me for a second, I'm very thirsty. So, like, what is this? What's the recipe? What is this special thing of the Binyamin stone and the Yosef stone? And he says that the Binyamin stone and the Yosef stone are actually the recipe for Geula. Very interesting. A recipe for Geula. If you put together Yosef and Binyamin, oh, I have another child here, Yosef and Binyamin. Okay, got all four of my kids here. Not four, I have to find a Moshe. Well, this is the, okay. That's a different Dvar Torah for Moshe, but Moshe's in this parsha too. Okay, so I've got four boys. Actually, the only... I didn't get to Yaakov. Okay, not happening. Okay, so I'm going off script. So, right, Kobe. So, going back to... So here we go. Yosef. So what's the Yosef Binyamin? What's the recipe for Geula? When... Yosef is represents the Mashiach ben Yosef. That's the representation of Geula. When you put those together, when you have Achdut of the Binyamin, and that's together, that's when you have the Achdut of Klal Yisrael. That is the recipe for how you have Geula. And actually, the word Choshen is the same gematria as Mashiach. Okay, they're the same. Same gematria. It's actually very easy. The words are almost exactly the same, except for the yud and the mem and the nun, right? They're very, very similar. And it's that actually, if you think about Mashiach, how do we get then? You need all 12 of Klal Yisrael, all of the Shvatim, all together, all serving together to serve. So the colors of the Shvatim are a beautiful concept. And I want to share with you that for many weeks, I've been giving Divrei Torah, and we've been talking a lot about what's going on in Israel. And we've been talking a lot about, you know, this is an extraordinary time that we live in. And we keep on feeling like, wow, like there's a coming of Mashiach. I actually just said this to my kids yesterday in the car, like, can you imagine that we may be Zoche to see Mashiach coming? Like, is that a crazy, like, is that really possible? Like, we say for thousands of years, Jews have been saying, Ani mame b'muna shalema shebeviach samashiach. And, like, is it possible that it might actually happen? That we may be zocha to see it? How unbelievable it could be.